All right, this is Tony Alamo, and we've been doing a lot of talk, just giving three messages from the Lord on eating. The history of Israel has always been a history of eating and drinking. In the Garden of Eden, God placed a tree, the tree of life, for them to eat from, and they were not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there also is a river going through the Garden of Eden. And the same situation is in the last chapter of the Bible, where it says that this shall occur in the kingdom of heaven. So we have this history. Now we're going to be talking about eating, and now we're going to be talking about the drinking, because there's much to say about the children of Israel eating and drinking. And that is we are the new Israel of God, both Jew and Gentile, that have come to the Lord to drink. They've come to the fount. They've come to the manna, the bread of life, to eat from him so that you have life. Okay, let's go.
Old Testament drinking. When reading the Old Testament, the history of Israel is that of eating and drinking. In the second chapter of Genesis, there is the tree of life for Adam, his wife, and posterity to eat eternal life from.
And now, posterity means for all the children of them and for all the people in the world. If they hadn't sinned, then we also could have been eating from the tree of life. Then what?
And there was the river of water for them to drink. The tree of life and the river, food and water, are precious necessities which are necessary to build the kingdom of heaven, God's house or temple, New Jerusalem, body or building, the church.
Right, these are building materials for the body of Christ. To just make it simple, this time I'm not going to mention all this is the building of the Lord. You cannot build a building without materials. And the only materials that will enter the kingdom of heaven will be the eating of the Lord and the drinking of the Lord. You may try to do it in many other ways, but that's it. It's only, you must eat of the Lord and drink of the Lord, because it's impossible to do anything without him in you, living and working in you. Then what?
From the second chapter of Genesis and beyond to the history of God's chosen people, there were always the history of their eating and drinking. Their eating and drinking can be traced throughout the whole Bible. This is also true with today's children of God, God's chosen ones.
That's the body of Christ. Okay, and then what else?
The life of them all depends on their eating and drinking.
The immortal life of them depends on the eating and drinking of the Lord. Okay, then what?
These are the two requirements for you to have eternal life and to keep that eternal life going until the end.
Right, to keep it, to sustain it on a daily basis. Okay, then what?
Even in this world, we have to eat natural food for the health of our bodies to enjoy and sustain life. The record of the bitter waters made sweet by Christ's resurrection. The history of the children began with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes. The redemption of them began with the blood and their eating of the Passover lamb in the 12th chapter of Exodus. Immediately after eating the Passover and their walking on dry ground through the Red Sea on their journeys out of Egypt, they were out of water. Exodus 15:22 says, quote, "They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They journeyed to Marah, meaning bitter, because the waters of Marah were bitter, undrinkable." It is important to know that the trip from the Red Sea to Marah was truly 3 days exactly. Their three-day journey without water and in the wilderness, thirsty, means they had to trust God, because without him they were dead and buried. It was for 3 days.
It's important to remember that it was for 3 days because it's symbolic of the Lord's resurrection. they were the same as dead without water, right?
Yes.
Okay, and when they got there, there was bitter water. Okay, then what?
They walked in a death type.
It was like they considered themselves as much as dead, because without water, you can't live. Then what else?
They were resurrected on the third day. This was symbolic.
Resurrected or revived. Okay, then what else?
This was symbolic of the Lord's resurrection on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:4.
You want to get that?
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
Okay.
When Israel came to the bitter waters of Marah on the third day, the Lord showed Moses a tree and commanded him to throw the tree
into the water. Throw it into the bitter water. Then what?
When Moses threw the tree into the bitter waters, the tree, symbolic of the tree of life, made the waters sweet. Exodus 15:25. Again, the tree is the resurrected life in Christ.
This is Christ, symbolic of Christ, Christ and his resurrection. His resurrection power to take the bitterness out of death and make it a sweet thing, that when we die, when we close our eyes in death, we have a sweet repose about in us, because that we know on where, when we open our eyes on resurrection morning, we're be filled with joy and sweetness forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Again, the tree is the resurrection.
And that's plenty to be thankful about, isn't it?
Amen.
If we never have anything else in this world, if we have only, what is this to eat? You know, we still have the consolation of immortal life. Amen?
Amen.
And that's sweet water. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you are complaining about everything in this world that is bitter, it's a possibility, and a very strong possibility, and it's not just a possibility, you don't have enough sweet water in you. You don't have faith in resurrection morning to keep the Lord sweet, the sweet water. He is the sweet water being poured into you. He's the tree of life. He's the river of life. He's the fountain of life. He's the sweet water of life. He's the tree that was thrown into the bitter water to make it sweet. Okay, then what?
Again, the tree is the resurrected life in Christ, because this tree was thrown into the bitter waters of Marah after God's children journeyed 3 days in the wilderness.
And made the waters sweet. Okay. Then what?
Because the children of Israel lacked water and were thirsty, to make matters worse, they came after 3 days of thirst to bitter waters. They began murmuring and complaining. This is what happens to the children of God when they run short of water.
This is what happens to the church of God when the church is lacks water. They don't have the sweet, the tree of life in them. Or they're, let's just say that they're short of the tree of life. They say, well, we don't read the Bible as much as we ought to, or we're not getting enough messages. And so you see people in some churches, and in every church, you see them chiding, murmuring, complaining, bitter. And that's because they have a lack of the Lord in them, the tree of life. And there's not much sweet water when people are fighting each other and coming against each other and murmuring and complaining about everything and reproving and rebuking people when they have not been given the authority to do that as a pastor does. Now, they can warn people, say, if you're doing something that you know very good and well you're not supposed to do, and then you report it to the pastor, and the pastor, I mean, if you have so much, if you don't have enough sweet water in you to bring them up correctly, and then if they have been told by the pastor once and then twice, and they continue doing the wrong thing, well, then they're to be considered heretics. But the pastor, then, sometimes the pastor will, it isn't bitterness from the, or the pastor's always angry at Satan. But it's many times I see in the church that people do a lot of rebuking and reproving, and they are wrong in the way they do it. After somebody does things about 100 times, and they've been told on tapes and everything, and messages and tracks and everything, and they just continue on, then it is the job of the pastor. And it says so in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, that we have the right to do the wrath. All right, doesn't it?
Yes.
Then take care, you know, because if you do well, then they're not going to say anything to you. But the church cannot be, everybody in the church, we have baby Christians that get the idea because they see others in the church doing things, and then they think they can do it because they've been here for a long time. I've heard people say, I've been here, you know, 15, 25 years, and I know what I'm doing, and so on, when the baby Christian just learned what the right thing was to do. And they know that the person is wrong. It doesn't make any difference how long you've been in the church. That doesn't mean anything. When I first got saved, the Lord told me to reprove and rebuke, but to correct people in the Spirit. And I did it very meekly because I didn't want to do it, because Abe Schneider, who had a big Jewish work in Los Angeles, had been saved 50 years before I was. And the Lord told me to tell him. I just told him I didn't want it. I said, Lord, don't make me. Why don't you have Sue do it? Because she's been saved, you know, about the same amount of time that Abe has. No, he says, you do it. And so I called him on the phone. I was at the library, Los Angeles Library, looking up some newspaper articles on a Fred Jordan who had the Soul Clinic downtown Los Angeles. And Susie had told me they were coming over to the church, and I wanted to be filled in on that. He had committed adultery on his wife. He threw her out of the church and married the woman that played the piano and organ in the church. And he's dead now, and she's running the mission because they were coming over to our church and trying to talk us into moving into there. They had some building there that was an old, old hotel. And they had a television program and told me that they would put us on TV. And I told them, look, Fred and his wife, I think her name is Billy. I says, we don't have any Christians to for sale over here. We won them. We went out of the streets and won their souls. And, you know, if you want to win, there's a whole world of lost souls out there. You need to go out on the street and witness and testify to them. I said, you might get your teeth knocked in or stoned like we have been, or knives thrown or spat upon. But as you well know, in the Bible, that's the name of the game, so to speak. And he had a man with him that was going around talking to the different people, and he came over totally disregarding my ability to be able to discern. And he said right in front of me, yeah, Fred, they're really saved. They're really saved, you know, like it was a miracle. Well, we rejected that because even though we needed finances and places for everybody to live, they were sleeping on the floors in our place. We rejected it because we knew that the man was a phony, and that he just wanted to make it look to the people out on TV land that he and his wife had won all these souls. And we knew that was wrong because they didn't. And they were going to use it to bring in money for their soul clinic, what they call it. Abe Schneider was, that was Abe Schneider's pastor, Fred Jordan. So I was in the library, because Susie told me this happened years ago, and she says, it's best for you to get that newspaper article so that when they come, you can just show it to them and say, look, it, I am on to you, Fred, Mr. Jordan. You know, I know that you did these things. Now, just stay out of my church. And I made it clear to them they never did come back. But what they did is they took a group of people that called themselves the children of God, and they were the ones that were smoking pot on the streets. and they were blowing smoke, pot smoke, into the faces of our witnessers out on the street and telling them, Jesus loves you, you can smoke pot, you can have sex, free sex without marriage, you can be lesbians and homosexuals because God just loves everybody. He took that whole group into his hotel, and they always have this mission where people donate food to him and everything. And he put them on, and sure enough, we watched them on television stating that they're doing a wonderful work there and send money in because we need money to take care of these kids. Okay, so I'm just so happy that God gave me Sue because she told me about how the phonies in the religious field and in the gospel field, phony gospel people, will use one another to promote themselves and promote money so that they can have money for themselves, not to put it back into the ministry, but just to promote money for themselves and a big name for themselves. We weren't on television at that time, not until quite a bit later. And somehow, you know, God just made a move and gave us properties to where we had enough room for everybody, and we finally got enough beds, even though the government was fighting us and telling us that we couldn't put in showers, and that we couldn't do this and that, and it was, you know, making it somewhat difficult. But I had such a strong infilling of the Lord that everything was, I just realized it was persecution, and I was rejoicing in it. Because the Bible says, you know, all of us will be persecuted that live godly in Christ Jesus. And he says, rejoice and jump for joy because you know that the prophets before you were persecuted the very same way. Okay, and that you know that you've got a place. God has a place saved for you there in the kingdom of heaven. So that's a great consolation no matter what you go through in this world. We're never to complain, murmur, or be bitter. Amen?
Amen.
And always to be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't you be thankful for eternal life when you wake up on resurrection morning? Even if you close your eyes, you're being burned at a stake, you have happiness in your soul because you know when it's over, in a few more seconds or minutes, that you are going to open your eyes on resurrection morning. And you're going to be full of joy for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
That's the great consolation that we have, that the unsaved people don't have, and the people that are just made up their mind that they're going to be bitter human beings and murmur and complain about everything. And they don't know enough of the scripture, they don't have enough of the sweet water in them to be able to minister reproof and rebuke. The Lord is the one that does that. And of course, if I see the devil, then I'm going to be angry at him. The Bible says that we're to hate the devil. He says you can't love both the Lord and the devil. You can't love two masters. You've got to love the Lord and hate the devil, or you've got to hate the Lord and love the devil. Because if you're doing the opposite of what the Lord says for you to do, well, then what it is that you hate the Lord and you love the devil. And you don't care, you just love the idea of the devil taking your soul to hell. Now, to me, this is the ultimate form of masochism, okay? That you'd send your soul to hell when you can see clearly in the Bible what the Lord wants you to do, amen?
Amen?
Right? Okay, then go ahead.
If your church is short of spiritual sweet water, you can be sure there will be fighting, murmuring, complaining, and chiding in the church.
Okay, now, Michelle, come over here and read the meaning of chiding. As I asked the people here, do you know what chiding is? And I have mentioned that several times in this message, so I want you to know what chiding is.
Chide, to utter words of disapprobation, displeasure, or rebuke. To find fault.
False rebuke. That's just coming from your bitterness. Then what?
Formerly to contend angrily, wrangle. to make a clamorous noise suggesting violent anger, to rebuke,
like Mr. Cooper did by smashing one of the young men in the face. Amen?
Amen.
Then the young man foolishly hit him back. Right? That
right.
didn't come out of sweet water. The Bible says that sweet and bitter water cannot come out of the same fountain. So if you've got the Lord in you, you can't be any bitterness come out of you. All right?
Amen.
And if you there is bitterness coming out of you, then you don't have enough of the Lord in you. The Bible talks in the book of Ezekiel of four different stages of a Christian life. When a person walks on dry land, then they can walk as the devil walks. The devil says he can go to and fro on the earth and do anything he wants, and he knows he's going to have to pay for it. Well, if you're doing that too, you just take one of our vehicles and ride someplace to get coffee, 30 miles to get yourself a certain kind of coffee. It means that you're living by your taste buds rather than by the Holy Spirit. And you're doing all whatever you want. You know, you could care less about the rules. You could care less about what the Lord says to be busy for Him. But, I mean, you just do whatever you want. You could lust in your mind. And you know that you're lost or that there's not enough sweet water in you. And so you're just chiding and arguing and fighting one and against one another in the church. And say, I don't want to be on the same job with this person, or I don't want to be on watch with this person because we don't get along. Well, that all you're doing is telling me that you don't have enough of the sweet water in you, and Jesus is that sweet water. And if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you better get Him inside you right quick, because you're chiding, and nobody wants to be around a bitter, chiding, or a person that's murmuring and complaining all the time, because this causes sickness. But in the book of Ezekiel, getting back to that, then but when you start walking in water, like the different streams, there's a little bit of water, it gets more difficult to walk because you can't do what you want. Because when you're walking a little bit in Jesus, you can't walk on dry ground like the devil does in dry places. As the Bible says that the evil spirits are living in dry places. They just go here and there, and then they see a watered land, and they want to move into you and take your soul down. And so if you don't have enough of the Lord in you, many people have allowed that to happen. They've allowed the devil to enter into him, and you've seen him fall away just like flies. And then when you get into the water up to your ankles, as it says in Ezekiel, then it's even more difficult to run. There's like a man there with a measuring rod or a string, and he's measuring people to see how deep they are into the Lord. That man is Jesus, all right? And so then when you get up to your knees, you get into the Lord more, you're drinking more of Him and eating more of the tree of life. It's even more difficult to walk, because you there's more of the things that's been taken away from you of the riotous way that you were walking. And then you get up to your hips, up to your loins, and it's even more difficult. And pretty soon you get into the Lord so much, and you just really can't do what you want anymore, because you're doing what the Lord wants. It's a process of getting into the Lord's will. And then you get up into water so deep that you can't walk in it at all anymore. You just have to surrender yourself completely unto the Lord and let His Spirit carry you where it will. Amen? You know, you're just swimming in the water, going downstream and just loving every minute of it, right?
Amen.
You're dead then, and you are in the Lord fully, fully surrendered unto the Lord. And when this happens, then there's no more bitterness at all. And there's no more wanting to do this or wanting to do that. When I prayed to the Lord asking Him if I could, I wanted desperately to write because Susie had just died, and I said, Father, we're just in this little town of Dyer, Arkansas over here, and I mean, how am I going to get the word out? And these people are rebellious, and they're rebels, and give me the gift to be able to write so we can distribute tracts all over the world. And he says, I will. But he says, you'll have to be confined. You won't be able to go to and fro like you've been doing. You'll have to be confined to the house. You'll have to get into the water. Amen?
Amen.
He's told me several times before that you're not reading enough. Amen?
Amen.
I told you that. And he says, so now you're going to have to do that. If that's what you want to do, I'll let you do it. But you're going to have to follow my instructions here. Get into the water, because it's important. Because if I'm not in you fully, then you're not going to be able to give anything to the people in the church. You're not going to be able to bring them up, or the people of the world. So, you know, I said, oh, I will not run around anymore or be on building. I didn't run around that much outside in the world, but I did in the church. I was building and talking to the brothers and just pretty much letting Susie do all the preaching and things like that. And I said, there really isn't that much need for me to do that, these things, because Susie preaches. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. They're saying, well, Tony does the preaching, he writes the tracts, we listen to the tracts, and they're not drinking from the Bible, all right? Because the tracts are not enough. There's so many other things that you learn by reading the Word of God, and if you want the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you, you're going to have to study the Word every day. You have to get some fresh bread every day so that you can have something to give people as well, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just giving the messages to people that I give you, then that isn't anything that you sought on your own, and you're empty, and you know it, and you know you're not studying enough, and your desire is not that to drink and eat and drink of the Lord so that you can have something to say to people as well. All right?
Amen.
You're not getting into the water fully. You're not walking in the Spirit or in the river of life completely. I mean, you don't want to... Michael Johnson was over here the other day, and he was just a little kid when he remembered me bringing a message of Naaman, who was rebellious about getting into the water because he had to dip himself 7 times in Jordan in order to get rid of his leprosy. And he started laughing. He said, because you were holding your nose and, you know, picking up this, you know, mocking Naaman by picking up his skirts and then dunking. He says, one, two, you know, and holding his nose. Because, and when he came out, that wasn't a hard thing to do, is get into the water, is it?
No.
No. And when he came up for the 7th time, all the leprosy was gone. And Michael Johnson remembered that ever since he was just a little tot, okay? And he said it was just, it's always been funny to him, you know. I don't know what it was that I did that made him so funny. It was kind of probably mocking him. And because that's the way people are, they just don't want to get in the water, you know, even though they'll be completely healed from their bitterness and whatever there is that's wrong with them. And when you're in the healing waters, the sweet waters, you can't get sick, because the Lord says that He can make you sick and possibly die if you're not in the water. You can't be healed. Okay? Now go ahead, finish off with the meaning of chiding or chide.
To rebuke, to reprove.
Yeah, but in the wrong way. I mean, you know, not with the sweet water, then what?
To scold, to find fault with, to make a noise upon suggestive of or likened to brawling or scolding.
Right, not to make fault of, and you know, it's like people just say they're doing this, they're leaving this around, they're leaving that, they don't do that. But the Lord doesn't have anything in the Word regarding that. If it was something that was from the Word that you're telling people, and that's what a pastor is for, is because they know the difference between, you know, somebody stop, or you're just arguing about the way somebody looks or talks, or, you know, they're walking real macho and they think they're somebody else and all this stuff. That has nothing to do with the Word of God, okay? The way a person walks, or they have a lisp or a hair lip or whatever, you know, there isn't anything they can do about that, or the color of their skin or whatever, okay? So we have to do things in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Then what else?
To be noisy about, to drive, impel, or compel by scolding or reproof.
I could bring up thousands of different instances where people try to take over my job. Just lately, I wanted to send some bug spray down because we've got a real strong bug spray that kills mosquitoes. One of the people in the house here, they said, well, let's send it with the kids when they're going back. And another one said, no, it's leaking. It's very poisonous and all that kind of stuff. And it was in boxes and in jugs, and we could have put it in a bag, and the other one just received what that person said. And the bug spray never got sent to Fort Smith. Well, there was no leak in the bottles. They were in the house here for one or two days, and we didn't smell anything. So they were out in the storage area, and somebody spilled some from one bottle that we're spraying out here, and that's what she was smelling. But you could have put it in a double garbage bag, plastic bag, and tied it with a wire, and it wouldn't have done anything. But they were just got into a yelling match over it. That's what I'm talking about, all right? Instead of asking me, I would have said, they're not leaking. It's not leaking at all. Just put it in a garbage bag or a couple of garbage bags because they need it there. People are being bitten by mosquitoes all the time. One of them came in here with 19 or 29 mosquito bites on them. And mosquito bites are killing people these days. And I wanted it there, and they just didn't ask. Okay, that's it?
Yes.
Okay, so let's continue on with the message.
If all these, murmuring, complaining, fighting, false reports, bitterness, are present in your church, the testimony of the church is that it is dry. It is a sure sign of thirst.
And it is bitter, like the waters at Marah. It needs, there's a shortage of the water. Or there is no water there, and there's different souls that are this way. They're carnal. That's what Paul said about the people in 1 Corinthians. You're yet carnal. He says, I fear that some of you are all fallen away. Then what?
When we have no water to drink for 3 days, it is for sure many would be murmuring, complaining, bitterly fighting.
Yeah, today, if you didn't have water for 3 days, you would be, some of you would be really fighting, murmuring, coming against each other, bitter. And what?
Murmuring because of the shortage of spiritual water. It is most necessary for us to know that the churches, we are the church, have a living tree, the resurrected Christ.
Yeah, we have that. Why don't we let him come into us, amen, and live his life. Okay, you're not supposed to be living your life. You're supposed to let the Lord rule in your life and mortify your life. Okay, then what?
If we place this resurrected Christ into our bitter selves and let the resurrected Christ come into our bitterness, the bitter water in us will become sweet. The fountain of sweet water will be in us, which will spring up to everlasting life. At Marah, God gave an ordinance, a statute, Exodus 15:25, which tells us that we are to have the sweet water only to drink. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
Okay, what is the statute and ordinance that he made there? Do you know? Okay, read it.
Out of this living sweet water, there will always only be the living ordinance or statute. And that law is that if we drink only the living water...
That's the statute, is if we only drink the living sweet water, if we have the tree of life in us, that we are never to have anything in us other than the tree of life and the river of sweet water, all right? Then what?
If we drink only the living water, the sweetness of the resurrection, the sweetness of the resurrected Christ, the more regulated we will be. This ordinance and statute is not of the law of letters, but are the living statute and ordinance of our drinking of the living sweet water.
Right. In other words, it isn't of the letter. This is the reality of being a Christian, is to have the Lord in you. Now, there are some people in this church and other churches throughout the world that will never receive this message, and they'll be in hell. And they're always going to be bitter, and they're always going to be fault-finding. I had to put Tommy Richards and his wife out of the church because they just, he was a fault finder, and he would do things without asking. Then he'd call afterwards after he caused the trouble and then start telling me, yes, I know I should have done it. Then he started letting mice go free in the church, and we need to get mice mousetrap set. And anyone that has mercy on mice rather than the house of the Lord, they have to leave the church. Okay, that's just the sweet water of the Lord. And the Lord doesn't like to have rodents infested in his church. That'd be something for a mouse or a rat to be running rampant in the service and everybody starts screaming while the minister is trying to minister in the church. Would that be smart to do?
No.
That's right. Then what?
This means there is to be no chiding, murmuring, complaining, fighting, bitterness in bitter waters in the church which Christ has resurrected.
It's never to be there. Okay, and if you're the temple of the Lord, then you're the church of the Lord. And there's never to be that. Now, if the Lord gets angry at something in the pastor or the prophet, we see that in the Bible that this happens, but everybody in the church is not a pastor or a prophet, okay? If they are, then I'd love to hear some prophecy from them, okay? But I know they're not, and so you're supposed to keep your place and report things. Amen?
Amen.
And what? And if I mess up, then I'm the one that's going to be responsible before the judgment bar of God. Amen. And you'll be off the hook. Okay, then what else?
When the tree of life has come into our bitterness, like the children of Israel, after they drank the sweet water, they tasted it that it was sweet, there was no more need for bitterness.
Right, because bitterness goes. When the Lord comes in, the devil goes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He evacuates the place. Because the Lord's not going to let himself, he's not going to live in a place where the devil is. He's going to cast him out. If he's truly in there, there's not going to be any devil. If he's living in a person, then what?
This is God's statute.
That's the statute, is to walk in the Spirit. All right? Then what?
Where there is plenty of sweet water, there is nothing to murmur or complain about. When there is bitterness, chiding, complaining in your church, there will be much sickness in that church. If we are always murmuring all the time, we will be sick. Murmuring opens the door to the enemy, to the devil, to bring in every kind of disease. If we are given to murmur, complain, and chide, we are the same as the Egyptians, the worldly people. In all worldly associations and societies, the people murmur, chide, and fight, start wars with one another. You think Christ will honor a church which is in the same evil condition as the world?
Or the Egyptians, the world. Then what?
Are the children who say they are of God so foolish to believe they have faith when they are in such miserable condition, the same as the people of the devil? Murmuring and complaining is a disease. If this is a person's condition, they are sick spiritually, and this spiritual sickness can result in physical sickness. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter told the Corinthians that many among them...
Paul told the Corinthians, right? That many among them were...
were weak and sick, and a number of them died, verse 30, because of their murmuring, chiding, and divisiveness.
That's what the Bible says, all right? Then what?
The Corinthians were against one another because they had run out of sweet water with the resurrected Christ. If we have the resurrected Christ living and working in us, we have the sweet living water. Our ordinance is to praise and thank the Lord.
Our ordinance from the Lord, okay, is to praise and thank the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
To thank Him and praise Him. But if you don't have thankfulness, then you won't praise Him. Because you just figure God's allowed too much evil, bitterness to happen in this world, and there's no reason to be praising and thanking Him. Or there's nothing to thank God for. I don't have who I wanted to marry. I don't like the one that I'm married to. They're too this or too that. Here's the one I really wanted to marry, and I'm just having to go through life not getting what I want. A true Christian, they have Jesus. That's all they want. I remember when the Lord showed me Himself, I didn't think of anything in this world. That's all I wanted with Him. And it was the biggest disappointment in my life. I've mentioned this several times when He said, not yet. I have to stay in this stinking junkyard longer. But I mean, that's what the Lord wants. And so I'm not going to murmur and complain about it, because I don't want to ruin my chances to get into heaven. Right? God has given me things, too, that I'm not happy about. I murmur and complain about them, too. You know, if I were stupid, or just because I didn't want this or that, then what?
Our ordinance is to praise and thank the Lord and to shout
for joy.
That's
our commandment. That's our law, to praise, to thank and praise the Lord. People that don't do it, they're in trouble with the Lord. It doesn't bother me. I'm sad that they don't do it, but I'm not going to hell for anybody. It's like Tyra St. Clair stated. She passed out behind a jukebox. She decides she's going to backslide. She got drunk, and she passed out in this beer joint behind a jukebox. And she had a vision of hell, and she was in there, and she saw people screaming and melting, and she could feel the heat. And she always used to say, if Mama is not going to heaven, then I don't want to be there too. She said, if you really would see hell like I did, she said, you'd step in your mother's face in high heel shoes and punch her eyes out to get out of there. You wouldn't care 2 cents about Mama anymore. And people are not supposed to. If the Mama is, you know, of the devil, or she just doesn't want to repent, or she just wants to keep staying in her old vicious ways, you know, Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? Those that keep the commandments of the Lord. If a person you can obviously see they're not of the Lord, you don't have anything to do with them, the Bible says. Okay? Just live a godly life in front of them and just let them just shrivel up and die inside. And they have the same word to draw from. They have the same tree of life to get in them as I do. And if my mother was going to hell, or my dad, or anybody, my brothers, I'm not going to, you will not know anything about them. You'll never remember them at all in the kingdom of heaven, because there is no sadness or sorrow in heaven. And the Lord just blots that out of your mind. When I saw the Lord, I didn't even remember Susie. I didn't remember anybody. I just saw Him. That was the only important thing in the whole in my life. I didn't think of any of the brothers or sisters, because a lot of them were not even brothers and sisters. Some of them even testified falsely about me in court. And so I'm not going to hell for anybody. And I want the Lord to, He told me, you're saved. He told me, you're going to heaven. And I'm going to keep it that way. If somebody else wants to be like sour grapes or the waters at Marah, bitter, and they want to try to be a big shot over me, God gave me my position, they can go to hell. Okay? That's just the way I feel. And I want people to know that. Because the Lord says that we're not to anyone that favors mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter over Him. They're not worthy of you. So I don't favor my sons or daughters over the Lord. If they are going to go wrong, I have nothing to say. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going with the Lord. I go with God. All right? I'll walk with the Lord. Okay, then what?
Our ordinance is to praise and thank the Lord and to shout for joy with no fighting, murmuring, chiding, no nothing like this. This ordinance is kept by us by the power of God in Christ living in us. If we are experiencing, enjoying the resurrected Christ in us, no matter what is happening to us, and experiencing and enjoying the sweetness of the living water, we will not have any kind of disease.
No kind of disease. If Christ is in you, really fully in you, and you fully surrender to Him, you cannot have any kind of disease. Now, does that mean that everybody that's got a disease that they're not fully in the water? Yes. Okay. I don't care what the ministers on the radio or TV say. That's it. Okay. You know why? Because the Bible says so. God's Word says so. Then what?
If murmuring one against another can be found in your church, this shows there is Egyptian diseases there. If there is no murmuring or chiding, there is a living statute of the sweet made out of the sweet living water, which instructs us not to mock or falsely criticize, chide, murmur, complain, or fight with one another. God never gave this statute at Sinai, but it was given at Marah, where the children of Israel had been given the sweet waters.
Right. That is showing that when they drank the sweet water, the Lord, it was symbolic of the Lord being in you. And that's symbolic of you having nothing to complain about if you're drinking sweet water, right?
Yes.
I recently bought a well for the people in Africa and in another one in India for them to drink water that was healthy, because they were drinking water that was muddy and it had dung and urine in it. And I felt I felt that I should do something, because the Lord impressed me to send it to them. And so I did, and the amount of money that I sent him was for a whole well, a well big enough that would furnish water for the whole big city there in India and in Africa. And I tithed it to another ministry. Well, then I considered, the Lord considers that I'm part of that ministry too, so... But I have to be impressed, because there's a lot of ministries that the Lord never impresses me to give anything to, because there's something wrong with them. All right, then what else?
Exodus 15:26 says, quote, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians."
Right, he'll put none of those diseases on you. So he wants you to be fully in him. And as Ezekiel says, that this happens in stages. It was demonstrated in the book of Ezekiel. And when you're fully in the water, if you're fully in the sweet water, if you're fully in Christ, none of those diseases will be on you, okay? Why? Because it's a promise from God, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't this God talking?
Yes.
Read it again.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice...
I mean diligently listen to me. Not just, I have to put up, and just impatiently listening to the Lord. No, diligently, because you want to make it into heaven. You're diligently... Now, some people diligently eat certain foods that they like. When they see that kind of food, they diligently eat it. Like if you like ribs, you just can't wait to tie into those barbecue ribs. Or if you don't like barbecue without the barbecue sauce on them. Or if you just love chocolate, you diligently open the wrapper, and then the other wrapper that it's preserved in, and then put it in your mouth and let it melt in there. Well, this is what the Lord is talking about by diligently hearkening unto His Word, to that it's sweet honey, because it's causing your soul to live. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's heavenly food. Amen?
Amen.
It's more necessary for you than the necessary food to keep your body going. Amen?
Amen.
Because that is if you don't want to catch diseases. Why are all these diseases in the world? Why is the Lord allowing all these things to happen to people? Well, if they get in the water, I mean, the Lord says he doesn't force anybody to get into the water. But if you do diligently listen to what the Lord says and then do it, then there would be no diseases. But it isn't the Lord that's causing that to happen. His word is true, and his promises are true. If you don't listen to him, you, like Pharaoh didn't listen to him, then all those different plagues and diseases are going to come upon them, and it's going to come upon you as well. So if you want to be like Pharaoh, you have the example of Pharaoh in the Bible. And you also have the example of the people of the Lord in the Bible. Okay? Even if some of the prophets that had things happen to them wrong, it plainly states what happened to what they did to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're fully in the stream of life, in the river of life, in the, and you have the fountain of life in you, you're not going to catch any, all right? Why? Because God said so. He's, you know, he's the truth. Now read it again.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God.
Hearken means listen. He that has an ear. In other words, if you're willing to hear what the Lord says, if your will makes you willing to hear what the Lord says, if you diligently, your ear hears what he says, that means you heard it and you do it. Then what?
And will do that which is right in his sight.
And you'll do what he's telling you to do, because only what he says to do is right in his sight, okay? If you do the opposite, then you're going to be sick, okay? And you're going to die. And that I told Susie before that, when she decided, no, I don't even want you to do it because you're too rough and tough on people. You are brutally honest. Well, the Lord is honest too, but I don't call it brutally honest. He says if you do this, you won't die, but if you do something, you shall surely die. Okay, is that brutal? Huh?
No.
Some people think so. Okay, go ahead.
And wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I...
Zero. None of those diseases on you. Okay, then what else?
Which I have brought upon the Egyptians.
Which I, he brags, I brought them on the Egyptians. I'm the one that turned the water into blood, too. And I'm the one that sent the lice. I'm the one that sent the frogs. Amen?
Amen.
I'm the one that made it dark. I made frogs go into your bedchambers and into your kneading troughs where you make your bread. I've heard about every kind of bread, and in the Bible you hear about frog bread. Okay? Yeah? Okay, then what?
For I am the Lord that healeth thee. We should not have diseases or illness among us, because the Lord is the healer to us, and his healing is in the sweet waters. We have the Lord as our healer. Following their experience at Marah, the children of Israel came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Exodus 15:27. The palm tree in the Bible signifies the victory of having the evergreen immortal life. We, if we have the sweet water flowing from us and no bitterness, we have the victory of eternal life. Praise the Lord. 70.
And thank the Lord. Praise and thank the Lord. No matter what happens to us in this lifetime, if we've got the Lord, that's all that matters. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you went on to be with the Lord and you got to go into heaven, you wouldn't pay any more mind to me, or you wouldn't even think about me. All right? That just goes completely... Looking at the Lord just erases everything. There isn't anything that's... there's nothing in memory that can remember anything. But and you're... When you're looking at him, I mean, he catches your full attention. And being, you know, looking at him in heaven is just like, it isn't some mystical ghost or anything. He looks just like a regular human being. But his eyes, when you're right, when you're doing something wrong, but he still loves you, you can tell it. his love passes knowledge, because he looked at me and he was telling me, you know, with his eyes. With his eyes, he was saying, you know, you're wrong. There's things wrong with you. I love you. You know, I know you. I know every inch of you, every cuter of you. But, you know, you're not listening to my voice. You're not reading. And so when I needed to get the gospel out, he told me, you have to read. You have to learn. That was the horrible thing, and I believe that's why Susie swatted at me as she was leaving her body, is because she had to die in order for me to start reading the Bible as much as I needed to, because I wouldn't have under any other circumstance. And so the Lord in his mercy took her out, because the Lord wanted me to be in him to distribute the literature, to write literature and to get it to people so that their souls could be saved, okay? And Susie obviously wouldn't have done that, okay? But obviously I do that, don't I?
Yes.
Okay? So Susie wanted to ride, you know, she wanted to go out with Ray and Glenda Parsons, and she wanted to take a ride with Demas Shakirian and Rose Shakirian. And she wanted to visit with different people, Bill DeFern and Bayette, and she wanted to have her in-laws come up at the house. And I was like, gung-ho, let's get the word out. And she had made up her mind and told me in Hollywood, while we were walking down Wilcox or Coinga, one of those two streets, I said, the Lord showed David Rolnick the vision of Jesus, because I said, if that's what we're supposed to do is continue on, then give David a vision of you, Jesus. And the instant that it came out of my mouth, he saw Jesus. And he said, I saw him. Susie said, you saw who? And she says, I saw him. And she said, Jesus? And he said, yes. Did he say something to you? She asked. He says, yes. He says, come unto me. In Hebrew, he says, come into me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And David was studying to be a rabbi. He's a Jew, and he knew Hebrew very well. But he never served the Lord, and I believe he's dead now, because I've tried to call him, and the phones have been disconnected. And he told me he had something wrong with his prostate. One doctor said they asked to cut it out because he has cancer in there. Another doctor said it didn't, so he believed the doctor that said it. He doesn't have it. And now I think he's gone. There's no trace of him anymore. Yeah, but you're not going to remember anything in this world. The Lord says there's no sorrow there at all. It was just so much joy when I saw the Lord that it's impossible to think of sorrow. It was impossible for me to think of Susie, who was laying there next to me in the bed, riddled with cancer. I couldn't think of her. I didn't want anything to do with this world. There wasn't anything in this world that was attractive to me. And the church, I didn't think of anybody in the church. I was just glad I was getting out of here, out of this earth, out of this world. And so I've had a real good glimpse of the Lord. I've had a good glimpse of what it's going to be like there. And that was the most joyful moment. All the different things I've had in my life that most people think would cause joy were like dirt in comparison to just those few seconds with the Lord. And so anybody that has their eyes on something in this world and they're murmuring, complaining because they don't have it, you're sick. In your soul, you're sick in your spirit, and you don't have Jesus in you, or you don't have Jesus in you enough, okay? Understand? And if I were you, I would immediately start drinking from the sweet water and get that tree of life, Jesus, in you, because there's nothing that means anything in this world at all. Why would you love dirt everything in the world's made of dirt. Why will you care about anything like that? Okay, go ahead and read.
70 is 10 times 7.
Okay, that's right. There's, in 70, there is 10 sevens, right?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
7 is the number of completeness, and 10 is the number of fullness. So Elam is a place full of victories of life eternal. There were also 12 springs of water at Elam. 12 is 3 times 4. 4 is symbolic of
mankind.
Four is created. Symbolic of creation, especially man, and 3 signifies the triune God. Therefore, 4 times 3, which is 12, is a combination or mingling of divinity with humanity. The springs at Elam are for the mingling of divinity with humanity. God in Christ as the living water is flowing into his chosen people to be one with them by mingling himself with them. The resurrection life at Elam flows and grows.
Right. If the Lord is in you and yours, if you're, let's just put it, if you're the same as you were last year or years before, then you don't have the Lord in you, or there isn't enough of the Lord in you. The people of the Lord are to grow. They're to be in the water, walking in kind of marshy water, then up to their ankles, then up to their knees. You have to grow into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be the same bitter person. And then up to your waist, and then you have to be swimming in the Lord until that's the fullness of the stature of the Lord, of the fullness of life in you. This is your insurance policy to get into the kingdom of heaven, okay? If you're the same every day, if there's no produce in you of the promised land, well then, you're going to wither up and die. You either have to grow or you're going to wither and die. Then what?
The resurrection life at Elam flows and grows. It flows out of God into us, and through this flowing, it grows upward to express the riches and victory, the divine life.
So that God can express himself in and through you. Because if you don't grow or you're regressing, there isn't any evidence of God in Christ living in you and working in you. And you're therefore worthless. So the salt, there's no savor of salt in you. And you're to be trodden under the foot of men. They're worthless. The mineral, God just doesn't even do anything for you. Then what?
We must have Christ as the tree, Christ the resurrected one, to come into us to take control of our every situation. Then we will have the sweet waters.
Well, the situation, to control our every situation. Do you know what I mean by that? It means like if you got bitterness, that'll take care of that situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you got unthankfulness, that'll take care of that situation.
Yes.
If you lust after, you know, black people, brown people, red people, yellow people, white people, beige people, whatever you've got some kind of a fetish for, a fleshy fetish for, if you lust after people's feet or their hands or their faces or their hair, or whatever there is, God will take care of that situation if he's in you, all right? Because he mortifies your fetishes, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you got a situation to where you care more about leaving the church because one of your loved ones that are not of the Lord, that are obviously not of the Lord, well, you got to go and take care of them rather than take care of the Lord's business. If you take care of the Lord's business, then you're going to be a testimony to that person that is what your loved one, and there's a possibility they might get saved and healed, all right? You might have a situation of that you can't resist eating. You're a glutton. Well, the Lord will take care of that situation too when he comes into you, right?
Yes.
You might have a craving and a problem with suicide or drugs or alcohol or all kinds of situations, all right? The Lord takes care of every situation, is what I'm saying, all right?
Yeah.
You might be abusive to your children or abusive to your wife. The Lord will take care of that situation, too. Amen?
Amen.
Every situation. Read that line again that I've written down there.
We must have Christ as the tree, Christ the resurrected one, to come into us to take control of our every situation.
Okay, now do you understand, right?
Yes.
You got problems, kid. You've got problems. Okay? Or you're any kind of lust that you have that is not of the Lord. You got a lust for candy. Sweets, I have that kind of lust. The Lord took care of that situation, didn't he?
Yes.
Hmm? Tree of life is in there, and I can do it, right?
Yes.
We can do all things. We can take care of all situations in Christ Jesus, can't we?
Yes.
Can't we do all things?
Amen.
Right. You just got to get over it, kid. Kiddies, amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Then we will have the sweet waters.
You got lust in your mind, you know. You like to think of different situations, different kinky things. Lord can take care of that situation, too. If you got your mind on him, you ain't going to have your mind on kink. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Out of these sweet waters...
Same thing with worldly music or worldly movies or any kind of thing that's worldly. Amen?
Amen.
He takes care of every situation. You get your mind on him. Amen?
Amen.
Because, God, that'll be the last thing you think of when you see Christ, if you're saved, is movies or music or, you know, rock and roll music. If there's anything I can say, if there's anything I can do, or I want to hold your hand and all this, you don't want to think of that at all. That just gets blotted out, amen?
Amen.
Whoever is the top muscle-building man in the world, they come and go, but Christ is always there if you want him. Amen?
Amen.
Top boxer in the world. Oh, just when you think there's the great white hope, he gets flattened and he's walking. He's like Rembrandt because he's on the canvas all the time. Right? Then what?
Out of these sweet waters will issue a statute and an ordinance not to murmur or chide, but to be thankful and praise God. Our situation should never be one of murmuring, but one of thankfulness and praising.
Put an emphasis on never should be a one of murmuring. Amen?
Amen.
Never, ever, ever do that. Okay, then what else?
But one of thankfulness and praising.
That's what you should be doing. If you're thanking and praising the Lord, you won't find anything to murmur about because the Lord inhabits the praises of his saints. He lives in you if you're doing that. And if you're not shouting the praises and thanking the Lord, well, it's no wonder that you're bitter, okay? Because he's not in you, or there's not enough of him in you anyway to cause you to be straight, okay? You got to be straight. Okay, what else?
Take up the ordinance to say, Lord, yes, praise you, Father, praise you, Jesus. We are never to chide, be against one another.
Never. Heavy on the word never. We are never to chide, okay, or fight against each other. Amen?
Amen.
How could you do that when you got your mind on the Lord? That makes it regulates you to where you can pause for the count of 10 and then say things, let the Lord say things through you. Amen?
Amen.
What about that? Okay, then what?
But our ordinance is always to praise. This is the law of drinking of the sweet waters.
Right, if I feel like, if I see that I'm just not, I don't want to come out into the office because I know sometimes that things are not going to be right. And so I just stay inside there and I'll start writing or talking to the Lord or praising and thanking him. Because then the Lord will tell me, don't go in there now because everything is a mess right now and you get set for it. My natural desire is the desire of the ages. It's the desire of Christ, which makes everything so low beneath it that I feel that I've already have the pearl of great price and there isn't anything. Everything is so low beneath that that I never grieve of anything in this world that I don't have. And people will say, well, you have everything. Yes, I do have everything. I have Christ. And that's what I figure everything is, all right? Some people look at me and say, well, you have, you know, you're the head of the church. I mean, the Lord has given you a gift, and people admire you, and we get letters. Yeah, but remember, people also hate me, too, but it doesn't make me bitter, all right? I just figure, well, I'm not responsible for that. You know, I just put the Word of God out, and what it is that they're angry at is the Word of God, because people in the world really admired me a lot and almost worshiped me before I was saved, because they admired the way I was able to promote things and to make things happen. But I love the way the Lord makes me make things happen in the church, in the body of Christ, and I just love everything that's happening to me. All right? Now, there's a lot of things that I don't like that are happening to people around me, but that's not going to stumble my soul. That's on them. All right? And that's the way it should be with you. You want something? Well, don't you think that, you see, some of you people have never had enough money to know what everything is in the world. I know what it is, and there's many things, and I've traveled, you know, extensively around the world. There's a lot of things that I know that I could want that you don't even know about, because some of you have only lived on the ridge all your life. You don't even know what it is to know all the things that you can have if you have money. And you'll never know it, probably. And that's good for you, because none of it is worth worrying about, okay? And it's just too bad, Bunky, okay? Or Nunky. Okay, what else?
We will be brought to the place of fullness, 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Being in Elam in the Spirit with the Lord is full of the flowing of life for the mingling of divinity with humanity, and full of the victories of life for the praising of the Lord. Spiritual Elam is a place full of praises coming out of God's life.
Right, and if there's not praising and thanking coming out of you, then God's life is not in you. Or, not to discourage you, I'll say, not enough of God's life, right? Because that right there shows, well, maybe there's a chance for me, right? Well, there is if you get busy and start drinking from the sweet water, and if you keep eating from the tree of life, all right? Praise the Lord. This is Tony Lamo. Lord bless you.